Epsoma.
I know. I'd never correct
Epsoma.
You.
Epsoma. Yeah.
I just laugh at you behind your back.
So, you know, everybody wants to know when to fertilize their roses, mm-hmm. and that is in early spring.
Rise up lilac days. Plant, if you give it the option of the synthetic fertilizer versus organic or what the soil is actually feeding it. Oh, yeah.
Good morning, Northwest Arkansas, and all of our friends out there in America. My name is Mark Rockwell.
I'm Josiah Goss, and you're watching and listening to Two Nuts on a Tree. We are so glad to have you here with us. Mm-hmm. Today, we've got a really good show about roses. A few different tips on roses, how to take care of them. Our favorite roses. So if you want to know the ones we have fallen in love with, stay tuned.
Yeah, I don't know if I go that far, but, you know, there's a lot of things that people...
I would.
Just like hydrangeas. Last week, I had to stop you reminiscing about your love. That was a good show.
That was a good show.
People really like that because there's a lot of things, misnomers about roses or hydrangeas. And the thing about pruning and how to change the color, the difference in... The difference in the different varieties.
Yeah.
Like old wood, new wood.
And they're all different. You know, that was such a good show. And having Sandy on was amazing. We love you, Sandy, if you're listening to us. Yeah. The difference in hydrangeas, people think that they're all the same, treated all the same. They're not. So.
Yeah. And that's what prompted us to do a show on roses.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of things about roses, like when to prune.
Yep.
Disease.
Yes.
How to plant, even. How much sunlight do they have to have?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here at Rockwell Farms, Chris knows a lot about roses. She's read up about them, and I think we ought to call her.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I know.
You always have good ideas.
She's not working today.
Mid-show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's just call Chris and see what she really
knows.
That's
awesome. You got her number over there, so yeah, we can do that.
All right, what do you want to start with today?
All right, well, why don't we just jump into the comment section?
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. The comment section, the part of the show where we answer your questions or your comments. If you have questions or comments about the show or gardening questions or tips or whatever you want to talk about or, you know, even if you just want to banter on, we answer those. So you can go to rockwellfarms.com and you can message us there. Or if you're on YouTube, we actually do message those comments or on social media. So a little bit of mixture of all. The first one I've got is from Mrs. Sugarlump 2. I love that name. Mrs. Sugarlump 2.
All right, go ahead.
Okay.
I don't think that's a real name.
This one just... Okay, so I just happened upon your channel by accident, but was intrigued by what I was hearing, so I stuck around. Well, thank you. I wish you were here in my area so I could come visit your nursery. Josiah, I was happy to hear someone else mispronounce Epsoma after I realized I was saying it wrong for over a year. I was saying it exactly like you. I know what she's saying.
Epsoma.
No, normally I say Epsoma.
Yeah, I know.
Epsoma.
I know. I'd never correct
Epsoma.
You.
Epsoma,
yeah. I just laugh at you behind your back. Go ahead.
What a good friend.
So is Epsoma.
Okay. I was saying it exactly like you, somehow thinking maybe had Epsom salt in it. You know what? Maybe that's why I say Epsoma instead of Epsoma.
Yeah.
That's really good. Okay. I was dumbfounded when I heard another YouTube expert call it Epsoma, not Epsoma. Okay.
Is there a question in there somewhere?
No. That
just
was
the pronunciation of Epsoma?
Yeah. This is true.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
I've always just laughed at you behind your back.
Thanks, Mrs. Sugarlump, too, for correcting me on that. I will try. I guess, I relate it to saying like Epsom salt.
Yeah, I will tell you this. All right, let's comment about this poem for a minute since you brought it up.
Yeah, sure.
Because in the time to apply, we have pre-emergent. Mm-hmm. And so Epsoma has a really good pre-emergent. It's organic.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. And then next comment.
This one's
from Facebook. Look, you have my birthday presents right there on your shelf. How cool. This one's from Kaylin Cordes. This was a, you can post up the, yes. So we got these beautiful
flower pots in. They are awesome. They are very hard plastic, but they're WeatherTech.
Oh, the ones we got from the show?
Yeah. So they're indoor and outdoor. They have this awesome little plug in the bottom of them. So whether you have it indoor, but they're beautiful. Some of them have like, birds of paradise, hummingbirds, bumblebees.
Why didn't you put one up here?
I should have brought one in here. I don't know.
Oh, man.
Jess, post that picture of those awesome pots. It was awesome. It was awesome at the show. They're awesome here. So anyway.
What else you got?
Okay. Will you be bundling the dirt, peat moss, etc. again for raised beds? Yeah.
Magnificent Seven.
Yeah, so that's what we call our Magnificent Seven. It's a total of 7 bags is why we get it, but it's essentially cotton burr compost.
Hey, that's part of my time to apply.
Okay.
Go ahead. One
peat moss and vermiculite. So that mixture, we will be bundling that. We always do. Such a great mixture.
All right. Don't steal my show.
Okay.
Are we ready for time to apply?
Not yet, sir. Okay. This is from Te Pepper. T-E-H Pepper.
Hello. My name is Ted Pepper.
Te Pepper.
That's awesome.
I was there.
Give her a job.
I was just there and picked up a ton of seeds going in. Didn't realize you provided me with seed starting trays too. Bonus.
I helped her.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. The Rockwell Farms team is incredibly helpful. We talked through a couple ways to manage my mole vole problem, and I picked up some things to manage that. No poisons. I have a dog. Yes.
Yeah.
So we will get you set up if you have kids, or pets, and moles or vole problems. We have stuff that's going to eradicate those, to where you are pet and kid friendly.
Yeah. Even our mole trap will not hurt your dog. Remember the mole trap that had the prongs on the sides?
Yes.
That was so bad for dogs.
Yeah, you don't want a bear trap in your yard where your kids and your
exactly
pet
what it was.
Runs.
And so ours, you sit with your foot and the whole thing's underground.
Uh-huh.
And then next morning, boop, you pull it out.
Yeah, totally safe.
I loved your comment about, when you pull it out and there's mole, the hole's already dug for your plant. Put a 4-inch in there.
Yeah, for your plant, or you don't have to bury the
mold.
Oh, goodness. Oh, gosh. All thanks to the lovely lady. Oh, it wasn't you that helped her. Must have been a lovely lady. I bet you it was Chris.
All right,
that helped her. Okay, the lovely lady who assisted by touring me through the trees, greenhouses, and showing me all the goods I needed there. I will be back this weekend to pick up fruit trees to start my orchard. Interested in Arkansas Black. You have great flavor profile after it's stored for a bit.
Man, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. That is true. After the Arkansas Black, it's amazing for long shelf life and storing.
Yeah.
And I have heard people say it tastes better after it's sat on the shelf for a while.
Arkansas Black was developed in 1923 during the Depression. And to develop a tree that was very disease resistant and had good shelf life, because obviously people were having trouble growing their own food. And so that was just a great development by the University of Arkansas. So that Arkansas Black is one of our humdingers as far as the fruit trees are concerned.
Absolutely.
And love when I said, and I guess I should have known when she said the person that helped me was so wonderful. That wasn't me. All right, time to apply, Jess. Man, I love this song.
Yeah.
All right, it is time to apply your tree and shrub food. Tree and shrub drench. When your trees start to turn that fuzzy green, that is the time to apply your tree and shrub drench. What that does is that it's imidacloprid is the main ingredient and keeps you from having any borers, especially on your oak trees.
Oh, yeah.
So you apply it when it starts, that green haze, because it's starting to get all the juices up into the tree, and you want that imidacloprid to come up through the vascular system to keep you from having any borers in that tree. It's a very good clean out. It's a cheap preventative for that tree that's very precious to you. So make sure to use the Fertilome tree and shrub drench. Your rose food was systemic by Fertilome. That's a very good product again. The systemic part about it is the imidacloprid once again.
Yeah.
It will keep you the insects from destroying your rose for the entire season. So we really like that.
Be aphid free on your beautiful roses. Yep. Yeah.
You have one up here. It's 14, 12, 11. That's a very good combination of your nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium for those roses.
Yes.
Five-star fescue. Five-star fescue is a blend of five different fescue seed for your lawn. It's what I have in my lawn. It's a seed for full sun, shade, high traffic, disease resistant. And the nice thing about it is that when you use five-star fescue, your whole entire lawn is congruent and to where you it just looks like Elvis Presley shag carpet. I love the five-star fescue.
Yes.
Now's the time to prepare your flower beds. That is the Magnificent Seven that you commented on earlier. It's one-third cotton burr compost, one-third vermiculite, and one-third sphagnum peat moss. It has a perfect ratio of your water holding capacity and your aeration. And I tell you that vermiculite is very good because it has high CEC content, which is cation exchange capacity. It actually holds.
Big word, yeah.
Yeah, it actually holds the minerals until the plant is ready for it. So that's why that vermiculite is so good. It not only gives you aeration, but it holds minerals until the plant's ready for it. It is time to apply your pre-emergent. I'm going to keep talking about pre-emergent all the way through the month of March and the beginning of April.
Yes, yeah.
There's three types of pre-emergent that you can use. It is the high-yield weed stopper, which is prodiamine, which is the pretty much the normal pre-emergent, but it also has Dimension in it. Dimension's really good for you keep your crabgrass out, okay?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So that's why I like the high-yield weed stopper. It's it's inexpensive, goes a long way, and it's what I use in my lawn, and I think you should too. The big yellow bag. Big yellow bag is for those people that have acreage. I've seen a lot of them come out of here. It's an inexpensive way to keep those weed seeds from germinating. And now, timing is everything when it comes to weeds. The big yellow bag. And Espoma. Espoma is corn gluten. It's a new product that we have here at Rockwell Farms. It is the corn gluten is a natural pre-emergent for your weeds and also adds 9% nitrogen.
Definitely.
So if you have a vegetable garden or small berries, use that corn gluten by Espoma. It works very well. And your post-emergent, this is after your weeds have already germinated and you have weeds in your lawn. Weed-free zone is your only alternative for this time because it works down to 40 degrees. So weed-free zone by Fertilome is our number one post-emergent.
You know what's awesome? Here at the nursery, you've done this. This is awesome.
What?
So Mark has gone through all of the hard work for you. So when you come up here and shop at Rockwell Farms, on all of our products that we have in our storefront building, he has this little printout.
It Dude, will tell you ripped you, that off.
Yeah. I'll tape it back up later.
Right.
But it has everything you need to know. You can actually snap a photo of this so you don't have to tear off that back label
right.
and read that little booklet. You know, it makes it super easy for you. And also, it's highlighted. Mm-hmm. So all of the important things on here are highlighted for you so you can graze read and be confident in what you're using and buying. So,
yeah, I appreciate you. I appreciate you ripping that off because
that
really does help people keep someone having to read the encyclopedia on the back. Tells you how much to use, when to use it, and what it's good for.
Definitely.
Yeah. And we have that all through the chemical room to where you don't have that deer in the headlight look.
Oh, yeah.
Works good.
Yeah.
Dude, I think we ought to call Chris.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Chris.
I love that music. She's going to freak out.
Hello.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Josiah?
Good.
We're doing the radio show and, We wanted to call you as our rose expert. I know.
Oh, awesome.
You good with that?
Yeah. Hopefully we're not interrupting your morning.
Oh, no. It's all going good.
Are you on your back porch drinking your coffee?
You know, I'm always planting something.
Oh, cool.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Heck, yeah. What are you planting?
Sunflowers today.
Oh, whoa. Yeah. Okay. All right. Right on.
True gardener. Hey, all right. We're doing the show today on roses. And we figure that since you are our rose expert, you can kind of guide us through as far as placement of the rose, how to plant your rose, different diseases. So if you can kind of go through it. I know you read, you said that you read an article by a lady at Proven Winter Shrubs. And
Her name is, go ahead.
I want you to kind of comment on that. You know, lead us through that so we can comment on it. And because we want people to know how to plant the roses for this coming year.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, awesome. Well, her name is Christina Halley, and she goes through a few things. So, like, placing your rose is all about setting it in the best spot for your rose for sun, airflow, you know, things like that. So you don't want to pack your rose into the garden. You don't want it too close to your other plants either. It needs some airflow and some sun to give you some good, pretty blooms to keep it healthy.
All right, how much, that's a question that we get a lot, is how much sun does a rose need?
It needs 6 or more hours each day, and morning sun is going to be better than that baking evening sun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good, yeah. Yes, very much so.
All right.
And if it gets too much shade, it's not going to flower for you properly, so you definitely want to get it enough sun to give you some really pretty flowers.
Okay, five to 6 hours of sun.
Now, you mentioned not packing it too closely in the garden, so and proving air quality. Now, this is true. Now, I love planting. You know me. I like to, in my own garden and landscape, I like to throw the landscape rule of thumb as far as spacing out the window. And so, this is very true with this, with not having enough space or room for your rose to grow, because it can cause problems for your roses, like diseases and stuff. Can it?
Right.
So a lot of you Proven Winter Roses, I have a rule of thumb of 3x3, 9 square feet. You need 3x3. It needs 3 foot by 3 foot to grow nicely.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that is your minimum spacing as far as I'm concerned on most of the Proven Winter Roses. All right. Now, what's the next one? Planting? You mentioned.
Yes.
Okay. How to plant?
So how to plant? You plant a rose just like you do a shrub. Mm-hmm. So you definitely want to, you know, get it ground level. Make sure you have enough room for those roots to branch out so that it gets some good, you know, drainage, because roses don't like to have their feet wet.
That's good. That's a very good point, because when you have wet feet, meaning that your roots are always wet, that will actually cause botrytis in the root system, which is a disease. And it will keep your rose from growing. I'm glad you brought that up, because that goes throughout all the planting stuff, like vegetables. People will say, oh, you know, I planted my tomatoes, but they're not growing. They're healthy, they're green, but they're just not growing. And that is because you don't have enough aeration in the soil.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yes.
Yes. So that's very important. You will have less disease and your plant will actually grow if you have aeration in the soil. And that goes back to our Magnificent Seven.
Yeah.
Or if you have existing soil and you just want to create aeration, use that bag of vermiculite, that horticultural grade vermiculite.
That's great. Now, Chris, what would you recommend using when planting the roses, like as an amendment or whatnot?
You really don't necessarily want to amend it right away. You want to get it in the ground to let those roots establish, and then you can try, you know, like a fertilizer, and you don't want to pack that dirt too tight, because it needs some aeration to the soil. But as soon as you get them in, you can, in the early spring, you can fertilize.
So yeah. If you have compacted roots, if you have compacted soil, use that vermiculite to loosen it up and water it in, and don't stomp it with your foot. Because, look, there's something called a hard pan. That's when water goes through really quick and then goes real slow throughout the clay soil. And so while it's trying to go through the clay soil, it's right there settling in where the root zone is. And you never want a hard pan. That's what we call a hard pan.
I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Always add your vermiculite into the soil. And do not use your foot, but use water to get that root-to-soil contact. Yeah.
Good word. Yeah.
And that's pretty much throughout the entire industry when planting shrubs. Yeah. All right. What else? The next step would be
watering.
Watering. Oh, yeah. Water the
soil. Oh, yeah.
When do you water roses?
You want to do that in the morning. You want to do that so it saturates in, and that if you are top watering, like on top of the leaves, it gives time for that water to go ahead and dry up off of your leaves, so you don't get things like sunspots and mildew and things like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, the worst thing is to water your roses in the evening, because then they're wet all evening, all nighttime. And that's when you have disease set in. I mean,
that's good.
The great environment for disease is moisture and darkness.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
For sure.
Oh, that's good advice.
That can culture pretty fast.
All right. What else? What else is your friend Catherine at Proven Winter Shrubs?
Right there, along with watering, you also need to check that for a dry spell. So, you know, if you're hitting a drought, a 10-day drought, or things like that, you definitely need to be checking that top 2 inches of the soil. And if it's dry, you need to water.
Stick your finger in it.
Roses need water to make flowers. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, definitely make sure you're checking your dirt to see how dry that is. You know, and all things are different. Mulch does help keep that, you know, a little more moist. So just a layer of mulch around your roses helps keep that moisture in as well.
You know, the mulch that we have is very fine mulch, and I really like it because it is it's made of pine.
Yeah, pine bark.
Adds acidic nature to it, gives you that, keeps you around that 6.5, and that's what you want as far as pH is concerned.
Sure.
Gets you around that 6.5, and it keeps your plant from going wet, dry, because a stressed plant is more susceptible to disease.
Now, I've had also pretty good luck, just from my experience, Chris, mixing that mulch actually in with the, if I have clay in an area,
I'm good with that. Yeah.
Mixing that mulch, kind of amending the soil with that. Cause it's helped me. Cause out in, when I was out in, Springdale, I had some pretty rough clay. And so, but I had pretty good success. So if you do have clay in an area, I would keep in mind maybe amending something in there with that.
Well, that's why we call it the mulch compost.
Yeah.
So you can, I love that idea. Instead of using vermiculite, you can use that mulch.
Right.
And that will keep you at that acidic nature of 6.5, mm-hmm. which roses love. Anywhere between 6 and 6.5. You don't really want to go over 7.0 as far as pH is concerned. So take that mulch.
Yeah.
Mix it in with the soil. That will break up the clay. And then you can use it as a mulch on top, 2 to 3
Absolutely.
Inches on top.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's great advice.
Yes.
All right. What else?
All right, the next we have is pruning. So the most questions you get is when to prune. You know, when's the best time to prune your roses? The best time is early spring, just before the plant begins to break its dormancy.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to vary depending on how cold your climate is. Mm-hmm. But look at your rose itself. Let it be your guide. And once you see those buds start to swell, you can get out your pruners. You just remove any dead, damaged, or diseased branches.
Yeah.
You know, if they look bad, go ahead and prune them back. Make sure you're disinfecting as you go if you do think you have any kind of disease or anything that looks good.
What alcohol a good tip. Yeah, that. Yeah, that's great.
Just spray it with some isopropyl alcohol and clean those cutters. Now, especially if you're going from one rose to the other, you don't want to spread anything.
So the reason why we wait till the buds start to swell is because typically in roses you'll have dead on top, a little bit of dieback.
Yes.
So it's kind of like the same thing on what we talked about on crepe myrtles.
Uh-huh.
You wait till it breaks dormancy and you see the bud swell, and that will tell you where the good wood and the dead wood is.
Yeah, or like the hydrangeas like we talked about last week, for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I love that term, bud swell.
That's really good. Yeah, because like anywhere you trim. Now, what about trimming, making sure that you're at a 45-degree angle on that? Can that...
That's very
good. Does that help with your roses?
That way the water doesn't set down onto the stem. And so if this is your bud right here, your top bud,
mm-hmm.
cut it at a 45-degree angle this way, okay,
mm-hmm.
to where, or you could do it like this. It just keeps the water from setting right on top of that bud, you know, keep you from having that disease. That's very good advice.
Now, Proven Winters, I want to add in, Proven Winters has done an awesome job at coming up with varieties, improved varieties that are less resistant to diseases. And
you mean more resistant?
Your
bacon there.
Very important there. Yeah, that are more resistant to diseases. And so Proven Winters, I hardly ever have problems with that on the Proven Winter varieties, for sure. Yeah.
Okay. So what do you have? What's next?
So we're going to
go ahead.
Just go over winter care. So roses for winter don't take a lot of care. You just want to mulch them in good and then make sure you water them right before it freezes and let the ground just insulate them for winter.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, speaking of that, if you ever have let's just say that you get a, rose that, okay, a lot of people get roses in the sleeves and so forth, and the root system will be dry. Little tip is that you can soak those roots in warm water, and it will do what we call imbibe. It will imbibe water, meaning that it's a wet substance going to a very dry substance, and you'll actually reinvigorate that root system to where it'll have plenty of what we call turgor pressure. It's where the cell has 100% water in it.
Well, can I go on a rampage real quick? Because I'm so glad you brought that up. I was at a box store the other day where they were selling bare root roses in that little sleeve. And I won't give out the name, but it ends with Mark. they were all dead. Okay. All of the stems. If you are buying a bare root, your stems that are coming out of that sleeve, they should not be black. Okay. You should see green in those stems. And so I'm seeing people just picking them left and right. And I'm like out there like a prophet, like, don't buy these.
Is that when they escorted you out of the store?
No.
It was about 30
minutes later, the security came for me. No, but, just be mindful. When you are picking bare root, you should see green in the stems, not dark brown or black, for those people out there.
I'll comment as well. A lot of the time, the new growth on those that are in the sleeves, they'll be yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's from transportation. And once you get those out in that sunny location of 5 to 6 hours, that's when it turns black and it'll shrivel. And then it just has to grow itself from another bud. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
When it's yellow, it's very tender because it's been in the shade of the truck.
Yeah.
And so then when you put it out and you plant it, that will shrivel down.
Yeah, yellow or green is good though. But
green is good. Yellow is not good.
Black stems, like the crown of the plant coming out, is black. Don't do it. No. Do not do it.
Yeah, okay. We're actually talking about two different things. Yeah. Yes. If your stem is black, don't buy it. And if your new growth is coming out of that stem, maybe the stem's green, but the new growth is yellow, when you put that out in full sun, that will burn.
Oh, yeah.
And the plant will have to regenerate itself from another bud.
Yeah, but it's still alive.
Yeah, so it's still alive, but it'll take a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
all right, what other tips does Catherine have for us from Proven Winter Shrubs?
Just a few on fertilizers. So, everybody wants to know when to fertilize their roses, and that is in early spring, right after the ground is thawed. Usually you can combine like pruning and fertilizing all at once, so you remember to do both.
If you want
more blooms, go ahead.
Didn't you just fertilize all of our roses here at the nursery?
Yes. Yeah, we just have fertilized the roses.
All right. And this is, what's today? It's late March.
Mid-March?
The 17th. Okay. Yeah. I don't even know what day it is. Why am I on the show?
Okay. Yeah, with fertilizer, you just want to remember to not do it in late July. It could promote new growth that could be vulnerable once those temperatures start to drop.
Gotcha. And that's huge because you want, even just like trees, your roses will harden up a little bit before, or they will harden up before winter. So you want to allow them time to do that for sure.
So after they start bud swell, that's the time to fertilize. That'd be a good measurement as far as when to fertilize.
For sure.
When the buds start to swell and break, it's perfect time to fertilize.
Mm-hmm. Now, even just outside of roses, Chris, I'm sure you agree with me and Mark that...
I wouldn't be so sure.
On any of your bud swell, on any trees or shrubs, is a great time to fertilize. So now is a great time to get out there in the garden, get things going. Because your plants are absorbing the most right now.
Yeah.
Especially with systemic insecticides on your trees and shrubs, which is why I love the Bifertilum.
Food and systemic food?
The food and
rose and flower.
Rose and flower food plus systemic worked awesome on the roses. Or the 3-in-1 rose care by BioAdvanced. That one's awesome as well.
This is a real humdinger right there.
Oh, yeah.
The rose and flower care.
Insect control, fertilizer, and disease control. Yeah.
3-in-1. This right here, and Chris, you can't see it, but I just brought the bottle out. This right here will fertilize your plant. It'll keep you from having insect problems. And also, it has tebuconazole in it, which is a very, in my opinion, it's the number one systemic disease control. I mean, it's very hard to get a good systemic disease control because on roses you have a big problem with a black spot is probably your number one disease on roses. Mm-hmm. And tebuconazole does a really good job.
That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, do you have any parting things to tell us and then let you get back to planting your sunflowers?
No, just enjoy your roses, guys. If you have any questions, you feel free to call or get a hold of us here at the nursery, and we can help you out with anything that you have.
Yeah, you're awesome.
Chris, you're amazing. We love you.
Yeah, we love you guys, too.
All right. Hey, thanks. Enjoy your sunflowers. We want photos.
No, I'll give them to you.
Okay. All right.
Thanks Bye-bye. For joining us. She's awesome.
She is amazing.
Yeah.
That was really good information on how to take care of your roses.
I love the fact that Chris reads stuff outside of work. I mean, that's unusual.
So, yeah.
I was impressed. I mean, when she told me that she was reading that article by Proven Winners, you know, you can go to the website and read these articles. But she actually takes time out to read that stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Chris is a
Freaking amazing.
Chris
Who does
is
that?
A plant nerd at its finest.
Yeah.
And so if there's love hanging out with her, even because if there's something she's got a hunch on with a certain plant, mm-hmm. she'll try to figure that out mm-hmm. Right then and there. So yeah. Total plant nerd. We'll have her on the show way more than this. So
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. She makes us look good.
So, Mark, how about some of your favorite rose varieties? And as we talk about
Julia
these,
Child,
if you're watching, they'll be up on the screen.
I love Julia Child.
We'll describe them.
Julia Child.
Yeah.
That is my number one favorite rose.
Which one again?
Julia Child.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it's a multicolored rose, and it depends throughout the entire country. The temperature of the time will dictate what color is coming out of the Julia Child rose.
Yeah, because they have like that off white yellow cream to that bright yellow.
And it even has some orange in it.
And our joke is that if you buy a Julia Child's rose,
you
get a bottle of wine and a lobster with it.
That's right, baby. I love that.
Julia Child's. That's a really good one. I would say right now I'm really in love with the Oh So Easy series from Proven Winners, like your Oh So Easy Double Red. But they also have the Oh So Easy Stripe that's a new variety this season.
Yeah,
it looks like candy if it's up on the screen. It's got these little strips of white coming through that red double bloom.
Well, the nice thing about the Oh So now these are not okay. Let's get into what the different types of roses are.
Sure.
You basically have three different types of roses. You have your hybrid teas, which are your cut roses.
Uh-huh.
All right. And your hybrid teas are hybridized roses. Now, the more you hybridize a rose, the more susceptible it will be to disease.
Okay.
And one of my favorite hybrid teas would have to be the Mr. Lincoln. All right, that has it's red.
Really?
It has the most petal count, meaning that the rose itself has the highest petal count, and it's just it's very disease resistant. In my opinion, that's the best red rose cut rose that you can buy.
Yeah.
Then you have your Floribundas. Your Floribundas are ones that do not have the petal count that you would typically see, but they're still hybridized roses, and you'll get more blooms that are not as big. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a bouquet in the ground.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I describe it. And the third type of rose would be your shrub roses.
Like your landscape rose.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
And so the Proven Winter varieties are shrub roses. And the nice thing that I like about them is that they have some varieties that will fit in that 3x3 area,
mm-hmm.
just like a normal shrub. Right? Like a box, what do you would think is a 3x3 space?
Sure.
Right?
Sure, sure.
3 foot wide, 3 foot tall. They have a lot of roses that'll fit that, but they also have some that, remember when we went to that trade show? And I think it was a Julia Child.
It was a Julia Child's rose.
Yeah.
Yes.
That grew like 8 foot tall
Yeah.
over this wall.
Yeah.
And it was just, I know, at first we thought it was like weirdos.
At first we thought it was a retainer wall because we saw the yellow roses over the top.
Yeah.
And then as we got up closer, we looked behind the wall and it was like a whole shrub. Several of them. So, wow.
Is that when we were in Cleveland?
We were in Reno.
Reno? Yeah. Okay. And the lady that takes care of the landscape for the city, she stopped in her little cart. And that's when we interviewed her.
Yeah. Remember the hanging baskets.
Yeah.
Which is why we're going to be carrying huge hanging baskets this year. Yeah.
Aren't those like 24 inches wide?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
How big are they?
Too big.
They're huge.
They're going to be hard to load, we'll load them for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's, I do remember that because we look at that Julia Child and that lady stopped by. I think I thought she was a cop at first. But no, she just, she was there just taking care of the landscape. Oh, so it was pretty cool. Funny. Yeah. Funny. So that's a good relationship there.
Yeah. So also, so the rose of the year for 2025 is Reminiscent Coral. Now, the flowers are kick butt on
this.
Isn't
that red and coral?
Yeah. It's
like two colors in one?
So it's kind of like a pinkish red, and then that coral coming from the inside of it, almost bicolor. I would consider it maybe bicolor.
A lot of their roses are bicolor.
And they're phenomenal, just filled. But the Reminiscent Coral by Proven Winners, and then even the foliage, if it doesn't have flowers on it, the foliage is so beautiful, like a nice sheen, dark green. I love this rose. Grows about 4 foot tall, 4 foot wide, maybe, and just is standalone amazing. Now, all of these Proven Winner varieties, once they start blooming, they just keep going to town.
Now that you mentioned the foliage and stuff, let me talk about fertilizer a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Do not use a high nitrogen fertilizer, because if you use a high nitrogen fertilizer, you will get more vegetative growth than you will blooms. You want a fertilizer that the nitrogen and the phosphorus, the first number and the second number, are closely related.
Yeah.
Actually, you want your nitrogen to be a little lower than the phosphorus, to where, because the phosphorus is what gives you the bloom count. That pretty much goes straight to the blooms.
Yeah.
And forces the plant to bloom.
Absolutely.
So you want your nitrogen to be lower than your phosphorus. That's a good rule.
And listen, roses always love a little bit of deadheading. Get the spent out of there, or else what it's doing is then it tries to produce a rose hip. That's the fruit on a rose. And so when you get something trying to produce fruit, it stops focusing as much on the blooms. So just by deadheading, taking that rose hip so it doesn't try to produce those seeds, because every plant is looking forward to reproduction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when you cut out the reproduction, it's forced to stay in that bloom. So deadheading is always a great thing to do on your roses. Now, there are some roses that are okay without some deadheading, like your knockout roses.
Yeah. Well, the more you deadhead, the more you trim, a low rule of thumb is, and you're right about, I appreciate you saying that, the more you take the deadheads out to keep it from going to seed, the more the plant will produce more flowers.
Exactly.
And another thing is the more you prune, the more branches that you will get, because it wants to regenerate itself. So if you prune one stem, you'll get two more, and that will make you give you a denser plant, which will result in more blooms on that shrub rose.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. You get a much fuller plant by keeping up on trimming. Now, there's some people that don't want any maintenance when it comes to roses, and that's perfectly fine. There are a few varieties that you can go with, like the Oh So Easy varieties. Those are great. If you don't want to do maintenance to your roses, go for Oh So Easy, like your Oh So Easy Double Red. There's tons of different varieties, Double Pink. They also have their new En Fuego. Well, it's not new, but it's one of their, it's a beautiful one, bright red with yellow in it. Any of those varieties and your knockout varieties.
Yeah. I want to mention one thing. In roses, it's very hard to get a really good yellow rose.
Mm-hmm.
Proven Winners has a zest, yellow zest rose.
Lemon zest.
I wasn't saying it right.
Yeah.
That is a very, very good yellow. It's yellow is a primary color.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the times with roses, you'll get a light yellow you never get a deep yellow.
Yeah.
That is a deep yellow, and that's why I like that one.
Now, there's a Oh So Easy Italian Ice. Now, this one is awesome. Okay, so this one has that. It has that bright yellow, but it also has this beautiful magenta pink coming through it. It almost looks like candy.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks so good. But Italian Ice, this variety is a really easy to grow landscape rose.
All right. That pretty much. Do you have any more favorite roses?
Tons of them.
Oh, my word.
Do you want to talk about them?
Go ahead.
Okay. And then
a few more.
The Easy Peasy. So this one is Oh So Easy Peasy. This one is a little bit more of a purplish pink to it. Now, this one gets those, it's just covered. That little
aren't they
stem
smaller?
Comes up. Yes, they are a smaller double flower.
Okay, closer to like a carpet rose?
Yeah, kind of like that drift rose kind of scene.
Ooh, as a matter of fact, okay, we kind of stopped growing the drift rose.
Because of the easy, Oh So Easy varieties.
I was wondering where those were.
There was no need to compete, in my opinion. So
I forgot about that. We pretty much stopped carrying the drift rose.
Well, yeah.
Remember when we carried the drift rose all the time?
Well, yeah,
and
absolutely.
Easy Peasy kind of took over.
They did take over because, in my opinion, they're much more disease resistant. They're far easier to grow, and they'll keep blooming. From the time they start blooming, they don't really have a slowdown season until we get to fall.
You know what? That's interesting because roses are one of those plants that bloom all the way from late spring to wintertime, winter. I mean, you're looking at like 9 months of color.
Well, the not trying to down talk a brand or whatever, but the drift rose.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, well, I'm going to.
If they don't sponsor us, get rid of them.
Okay, so here's my opinion. The drift rose, it seemed to have a nice bloom in the spring, slowed down in the heat of summer, and then kind of picked back up and had another bloom a little bit end of summer. And it had some sporadic moments, but the Oh So Easy varieties,
it kept going.
They were
even in the heat of summer.
Boom, 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 boom.
And so people in America know that here in Northwest Arkansas, we do have the cooler springs. And then in the summertime, we'll hit 100 degrees in the summer.
Easily.
Yeah. And the proven winter roses are still going, still blooming. Make sure that you fertilize pretty much every 3 months on your roses. You have to keep that fertilizer up, especially in the summertime. So we fertilize ours every spring, and summer, and fall. And we don't do it late fall. We do it early fall. Because if you do it late fall, your plant will be growing too much when that November comes. So you want your fertilizer to die out in the November season so that it hardens off well for the wintertime.
Yeah, and I would focus at that time something like your Imperial Boost. When you start to get into summer, it seems what you really want is something like the Imperial Boost, where it's got that high phosphorus and potassium content and lower in that nitrogen.
All right, so you correct me if I'm wrong.
Sure.
So because you're our royal king here.
Well, I'm a you're the royal king. Believer.
Royal believer. So they have the grow, which is 555555, and I would use that
now,
grow.
Now, that's the all-purpose.
All-purpose. Okay.
Yeah.
I would use the, okay, and so what is the grow?
The grow, I think, is, ooh, that's a good question.
No, it's not 555.
Yeah.
It's three.
I can't think of it off the top of my head. Jess, will you post that?
Yeah, post that for us, because that has a nitrogen content that is just a little lower than the phosphorus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the one that I would use throughout the spring.
Yep.
And then once you're in the prime time, use the other one.
Yeah. Now, this is organic. So if you are wanting to go the organic route, yes.
I don't care if it's organic or not, because you used it last year, which was a total humdinger on the roses.
Okay. So the grow is 3-2-2.
Okay.
And so it is higher in nitrogen. And so great for the vegetative growth stage, but it's right there pretty close to the level of phosphorus. Excuse me.
And then the fertilizer that's good for blooms, which one would that be?
So that is the Bloom by Royal Gold Crown Jewels. But what I would do on roses, because this is what I actually did last year, I completely skipped.
I was waiting for you to tell us. Yeah, I was just buying time.
I completely skipped the bloom on the roses. I did. And went to the Imperial Boost, because the Imperial Boost has no nitrogen, but it's higher in phosphorus and potassium. And that really gave me the bang for the buck on the Rise Up Lilac Days. Mm-hmm. Will you put a photo up of Rise Up Lilac Days? This one started in a, this is the one we were talking about, started in a quart pot.
Oh, yeah.
Planted it, it on the out. Trellis. Mm-hmm. By the end of summer, going into fall, this thing was probably, what, 9 foot tall?
Oh, okay.
Up so, the trellis?
Hold on. Yeah. Hold on. You planted that in a bed that we just fertilized normally.
Uh-huh.
And you added that to that rose.
Correct.
So that's where they got its nitrogen, because we were fertilizing the other annuals and perennials on a regular basis.
Yes, this is true, yeah.
And you added that to the roses, which...
Well, I already had the grow in there. Yes. The grow by Crown Jewels.
Yeah, but when you added that bloom, that was
Imperial Boost, yeah.
That was just freaking amazing.
It was like... It was like
it was a showstopper. Everybody that came to the nursery stopped to take a look at that rose
because it was just covered. Now I also planted a Rise Up Paringo next to it, which is a yellow, climber. But the climbers by Proven Winners, y'all, you have to try the Rise Up Lilac Days. It is. It's also thornless.
What color is it?
It's also thornless. So if you have an arbor that's in an area you got to walk through pretty constantly, it's a lilac kind of a lavender color flower,
and that's also hard to get.
It is
the lavender.
So, but again, it was thornless. So if you have an arbor that's close to a walkway or your front door, go for Rise Up Lilac Days, because you won't get the thorns on it, but it just shoots up like a weed and then just throws this show of flowers.
Don't say weed.
Okay.
That's a bad word.
That is a bad word, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't say flower pot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It shoots up like a rocket.
It was awesome. It was really awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So,
thanks for letting me go on that rant and not shut me down.
No, that's good. That's good. So to recap it, Proven Winner Roses will have your low scape, which pretty much has taken over the drift that we used to carry.
Yeah.
So the low ones would be called what? Your carpet rose.
Yeah,
maybe. In their category would be the what? Peewee? What'd you say? Peewee?
Yeah, so the Oso Easy Peasy. Those are still considered landscape rows or low mounding rows. Mm-hmm. And so you have like your low mound and then you have your regular landscape that'll get a little bit bigger.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you have your regular shrub rose from Proven Winners, which in my opinion be the 3x3. And then you have your climbers.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So you have all three types of roses.
Now, those 3x3, though, they do have potential of getting like around 5 foot tall and wide. They can.
They can if you don't prune them. But most people will prune them into shape throughout the season, just like you would your boxwoods or anything else.
Yes.
But they're manageable into that 3x3.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you'll have your the replacement of the drift roses would be your low roses, and then you have your 3x3 shrub roses, okay, shrub type.
Yeah.
And then you have your climber, climber variety. So they pretty much have covered all the bases.
Oh, goodness, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And they have, they have improved varieties, so that way you're not improved varieties with more disease resistance. More fungus resistance,
And more
mildew resistance.
Yeah.
Now I do want to talk about a common problem that we see a lot: yellowing in the roses, not in the actual bloom, but in the foliage. And so, this is something that I did run into last year, not here at the nursery, but at home in my own garden. Is I had yellowing in the leaves. Now, this is usually
overwatering
caused by two things. The first one is overwatering. So, in that instance, what I did is I held back on the watering, or I kind of slowed down on that. Thought, well, maybe it's overwatering. Need to check on that.
Well, if you start,
what it actually ended up being was chlorosis.
Oh, okay.
Was not enough iron in the rose, and so adding something with iron in it is going to change that for you, so that you're not getting that yellowing in the leaves.
Okay, now Fertilome does have a 4-pound bag of your iron and sulfur, which will lower the pH. With iron, you have to have a lower pH. That's why I said about the 6.0.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Whenever you're over 7, that's terrible for roses because high pH will tie up the iron that is available to that rose.
So that's good.
You have to have your pH below 6 for that iron to be available. And that's why we sell that iron and sulfur mix, because it'll lower your pH and provide the iron to fix that. And like yellow leaves, overwatering, you will not have overwatering if you start out right the first time by mixing in the compost chips that we talked about.
Yeah.
Into the fine pine mulch, which is used as a mulch and a soil amendment, and that will break up the hard clay underneath it. Or you could just use vermiculite. My favorite would be vermiculite. But anyway, then that would keep you from having to worry about overwatering, because the water is going through the plant and into the landscape.
Yeah, yeah.
And the third thing that will cause you from having yellow foliage is disease, black spot.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So that's why we always recommend the rose and flower care. And there's other things that you can use, but this is for the lazy gardener, the all-in-one rose and flower care.
Yeah. So this is going to keep things away, like witch's broom. You don't want that in your plant.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of common problems like powdery mildew,
black
spot.
And it'll keep you from having aphids, thrips, and any of those insects that will suck the nutrients out of your plant and cause that watering.
But again, we've said this on past shows, if you are eating healthy, you're going to be healthy and less prone to sickness and diseases. So we highly, 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 can't stress it enough, recommend making sure that your roses are fertilized, because when your plants are getting the appropriate amount of healthy food that they need, they're going to be up on the up and up. And less prone to diseases, sickness, virus.
Okay, so it goes two ways.
Uh-huh.
You can use the organic fertilizers by Royal Gold and outgrow any disease or any problem that you have. All right, that is the organic way, to where you have a healthy plant that, because insects are just like, insects are like this. In New York, the hoodlums always attack the weak, the older lady that cannot defend herself.
Sure.
Okay. Insects are the same way. They will attack the plant that is the weakest among the plants.
Sure.
That's the way the insects work. And so if you have a healthy plant, the insects will go someplace else. Right. It's just, or if it has any damage, you can outgrow it. So you can go the organic way and outgrow your disease or your insect problems, or you can go this synthetic way, which is your rose and flower care. And that's for the lazy person that doesn't care, which is fine. But you'll just apply that once every 6 weeks.
Yeah, and it definitely makes it a little bit easier.
There's two routes.
Okay, so yeah, your inorganic route is, I'll be honest, is a little bit easier at times. Because mm-hmm. You can just drop, go, leave it alone.
Now, in my opinion, I think that a person should use your organics throughout the entire landscape, because organic fertilizers are absorbed and used a lot better than any synthetic that you could possibly use,
mm-hmm.
for one thing. Second thing is when you use your organics, you are creating a microenvironment in your soil to where it is bacteria is breaking down the fertilizer into usable form. And if you use organics, your soil will feed your plant rather than the fertilizer.
I'm so glad you said that.
With synthetics, your synthetic fertilizer is feeding the plant, and your soil is just a housing unit. So
that's really good.
Yeah. So if you look at it like this, I mean, your synthetic fertilizers are kind of like crack cocaine. When it's gone, the plant shrivels up.
Yeah.
Right?
It's kind of like a drug from it. Yes.
When that drug is gone, the plant shrivels up.
Absolutely.
But with organics, your soil is feeding the plant instead of the fertilizer.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Bingo. Yeah, because if, I want you to think about this, okay? You have kids, and if you give them Fruit Loops every morning rather than vegetables, things that are more nourishing, they're gonna pick the Fruit Loops every morning. They're kids. They don't know any better. They're just going to go for it.
It's that sugar high.
Okay, yeah, exactly. And then what happens when you take that away? Your kid's going to throw a fit the next morning when you try to give them carrots and broccoli. Hello.
Yeah,
well, just kind of an analogy. Your plant, if you give it the option of the synthetic fertilizer versus organic or what the soil is actually feeding it, it's going to pick the synthetic every time because it doesn't have to work for it.
You know we're going to get sued by Fruit Loops now, right?
Sorry, Fruit Loops. Toucan. Okay. So your plant naturally has symbiotic relationships with things around it, with the, what do you call it? I can't think right now. With the mycorrhiza, with beneficial bacteria, microbes that are in the soil, it has relationships with those things.
Called metabolic activity.
Exactly.
When you use organics, you get that metabolic activity in the soil going to where the soil feeds the plant instead of the fertilizer.
Yes. Now, so if you're switching to synthetic, that's fine. That's certainly fine.
But you totally
destroy. But your plant is going to forget those symbiotic relationships it has with the surrounding things. And because it's going to just take that drug that it so readily available.
So. So that's the difference of using organics and synthetics. And I think that's very important.
Sure.
And I'm glad that we talked about it on roses because people normally think of organics just for vegetables and those edible plants.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a mentality that is pretty strong right now because your organics, especially with the Royal Gold, have become less expensive and more usable. So I really like that company. All right, that should just kind of wrap up our show.
I think that was really good.
Yeah, that was good.
I hope we answered your questions. If you have any other questions, you can comment down below if you're listening or watching on YouTube. If you're not, if you're on another place, you can go to rockwellfarms.com and you can actually message us your questions on there. We answer those on this show. We love you. Love hanging out with you.
Yeah, good the questions are awesome. And if you have rose questions here at Rockwell Farms, come see Chris.
Yeah,
definitely. She's done a rock job, man.
She sure has.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us, and we will talk to you next week.
All right. Later.